Simone Alisea, and you're listening to KNKX. This next story is about the press, which some people like to think of as a fourth branch of government, providing additional checks and balances on the other three. But I had some questions about what happens when the government starts to go after the media. What are the legal protections for news reporters?
A few days ago, I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are. They are the enemy of the people.
President Donald Trump's comments at this year's Conservative Political Action Conference have prompted conversations about the role of the press. And it should be noted that although he emphasizes the so-called fake news, the tweet he's referring to included the New York Times, CNN, and NBC. Some are worried that the administration is being too antagonistic toward journalists. Others say reporters enjoy too many protections, which raises the question, what does the law have to say about the media?
I think the largest misconception is that we have any standard body of federal First Amendment law dealing with journalist privileges.
Bruce Johnson is a lawyer in Seattle specializing in media law. His firm, Davis Wright Tremaine, represents several news outfits, including the Seattle Times. He's referring to one special consideration called reporter's privilege. It protects journalists from subpoenas compelling them to testify, turn over their notes, or reveal their sources in a court case. So when President Trump says,
they shouldn't be allowed to use sources unless they use somebody's name,
that's actually one of the things most states protect to some extent. In Washington, we do that through our Reporters' Shield statute. Johnson was one of the architects of the law.
Our Shield law is probably one of the better ones in the sense that it provides for the absolute protection for confidential sources.
If you give a reporter information and they promise you anonymity, the reporter cannot be compelled to hand over your name, regardless of how pertinent the information is. The state law also provides what's called a qualified privilege for things like reporters' notes. That means whoever is seeking that information has to prove that it's critical to their case and that they can't get it anywhere else. But the Shield law only applies directly in Washington state. And that's what Johnson means when he says there's no standard federal law. That was exactly the issue for Carolyn Nielsen. She teaches journalism at Western Washington University, and she was subpoenaed in 2010 for her notes about a 15-year-old murder case she covered while she was a student in Chicago.
It was really shocking to me. I can't say as I expected it at all.
Nielsen reported on 13-year-old TJ Jimenez when he was imprisoned for murder. He was later exonerated in 2009, in part because of her reporting. She was already teaching in Washington by then.
I was really just, you know, still feeling so happy that justice had been served, and all of a sudden was myself served with this subpoena.
See, after he was exonerated, Jimenez sued the city of Chicago in federal court for violating his civil rights when he was a teenager. The city then filed a subpoena for Nielsen's notes and correspondence. So here's the dilemma.
The notes and materials had been gathered when I was living in Chicago.
In the Seventh Circuit, which recognizes a very limited reporter's privilege.
But the notes were kept, stored, and maintained where I currently live.
In Bellingham, in the Ninth Circuit, where there's pretty robust protection for reporters.
And so one of the big questions in the case was whether Seventh Circuit law would apply or Ninth Circuit law would apply.
Same level of court, both equally authoritative. Different bodies of case law. A judge sided with Nielsen, but it could have been completely different if she had been living somewhere else.
And that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me.
One solution? A federal Reporters' Shield statute. In 2005, one Republican representative from Indiana agreed.
Compelling reporters to testify, and in particular, compelling reporters to reveal the identity of confidential sources, intrudes on the news-gathering process and hurts the public.
Mike Pence, now Trump's second-in-command, sponsored three Media Shield bills while he was in Congress, a far cry from the president's call to bar all anonymous sources. The thing is, liberals and conservatives tend to agree on the principle that the news media provides a needed check on the government. But there are some details tangling up a potential federal Shield law. Johnson, the media lawyer, says maybe the thorniest question is, who do we consider a journalist?
And I don't think anybody wants people, ordinary people in their pajamas, to be able to claim journalistic source protections. And this was the compromise we had to make in order to make sure that we got a shield law.
Here in Washington, a journalist is anyone in the business of news gathering. Basically, if you create some kind of entity like an LLC or you produce work for such an entity, then you're covered online or on paper, broadcaster or blogger. Definition issues aside, proponents of shield laws say they are truly protective, especially for whistleblowers who reveal important information. But Nielsen, who covers media ethics in her classroom, says the fight for a journalist's privilege is also about maintaining a bright line of independence.
I didn't have anything in my notes that I was trying to hide from anybody. It didn't even matter what was in my notes. The fact of the matter was that the police were not entitled to review my notes.
And that's why journalists are willing to go to jail for their sources, to protect them, but also to protect a free press. Simone Alisea, 88.5 News. That last story was part of our series, Unpacking Government. If you've missed any of the other stories, you can find them on our website, knkx.org.